Ice Cube's Big 3 is back. The most competitive basketball league on earth is on CBS this Saturday. Big 3 All-Star Dwight Howard and the LA Riot take on Greg Monroe and the Dallas Power. Then Coach Rick Mahorn, Sensation Nasir Khor, and the Detroit Amps look to protect home court against back-to-back MVP Michael Beasley and the defending champs Miami 305. The game played the way you love. Watch live Saturday on CBS at 4 p.m. Eastern, 1 p.m. Pacific, and catch replays on BET.
No re-engineering is necessary. Ohio State is just fine, and they are still undefeated. 38-14 was the final. Penn State came in here to kick off November, and they got kicked the heck right out of here. What a dominant performance. Again, Ryan Day, Buckeyes treated it as talent equated. That was not a good thing for Penn State. Welcome to Snap Judgments. He is Jeremy Birmingham. I am Austin Ward. That comment, I love when the knife, it's subtle. But once you slip it in those ribs, it's beautiful.
I mean, it's one of those things where you wonder if Ryan, like after a couple Busch Lights, would be willing to be forthright with if he actually thought of that because we say it all the time, nothing really ever gets
there are no accidents.
But that would be it. That would be like a pretty deep cut for Ryan Day to come back to re-engineering. Obviously, that is in relation to last year after the Oregon game, the first Oregon game where Ohio State went to the press conference on Tuesday and said they were going to re-engineer the defense. Today, Ryan Day said there was no need to re-engineer the offense because of who they were playing. So, again, coincidence? I don't know. We'll find out.
Hey, rule number one on snap judgments. There are no accidents with a Ryan Day live microphone. You can't argue it.
And this was a game that was interesting. I mean, it felt like the tale of two halves. Penn State was dead the minute they walked out of the locker room for the second half. 17-14 going into the break because Ohio State gave the Nittany Lions the ball at the 13-yard line with 2 minutes to go. And you know, it's one of those moments where the Buckeyes did exactly what they wanted. They get the punt. They get the ball back. They got the 2 minutes. They get the ball at the half. They're like, sweet. We're going to go down. It's going to be 24-7. Then it's going to be 31-7, and we're coasting.
Yep.
And then C.J. Donaldson puts the ball on the turf. Ryan Day was very, very upset about that postgame. Talked about it a lot.
I think he brought it up 10 times.
Yeah, brought it up a lot. He said he felt like his team was down by 21 points when they went into the half. And I felt similarly watching the guys. I was taking photos as they're walking up to the locker room at halftime, and they did not look to be a team that felt like any sort of good about themselves. And it's kind of – they didn't punt in the first half. They scored on every possession except for the one that that ended with the fumble. And so you think, well, you're doing all the things you need to do. But there were – things Penn State did that they deserve a lot of credit for. Their offensive game plan after the week off, changing the quarterback. They locked their practices down so the media couldn't see what they were doing on offense. I don't know why that was necessary, because we told you exactly what their offense was going to be coming into this game, because it was the only chance they had to win the game. It was like, to me, and I'm just rambling here, it felt like a reverse, like 7-on-7 game almost. Like they were like, it's just linebackers and linemen versus running backs and offensive line. Like it was like Penn State was like, we're not going to worry about the Ohio State secondary. We're just not even going to try to throw it down there. And it was a good plan at first.
Yeah, once Ohio State and Matt Patricia adjusted how they wanted to defend those wide receiver screens and tunnels and bubbles, and the only thing that Penn State thought that it could do with the passing attack was like, well, that's over. It's funny that you mentioned that vibe that Ryan Day is talking about, being down, feeling like they were down 21, and you're down on the field, and I'm in the press box. And I would have guessed that that was how Ohio State felt. But as I'm watching the game from up there, I'm like, well, this is the most lopsided three-point game I've ever seen in my life. There was no world where I could envision Penn State coming back to win it. Like, we knew how narrow the path to victory was, and Ohio State actually pretty much allowed them to do that in the first half. They didn't finish off one drive in the red zone, kicked a field goal. They had the turnover that set them up with a short field. They also were getting, I think Penn State, they were guilty of an illegal pick and a hold that were not called on their first touchdown drive. They were dipping deep into the gadget.
I mean, Will Smith was tackled right in front of Ethan
Bruckmeyer. Well, that's not even the holding that I'm talking about. Jeez. There were two holds and an illegal pick downfield that got them a third down conversion that weren't called. And I'm not saying this to, you know, justify a 14-point performance given up by the Ohio State defense or anything like that. It just was like, there's no way that Penn State is going to be able to sustain this in the second half, especially because Ohio State's offense felt like it had every solution available to it. We've talked in so much about what's the identity. Are they finding the identity? How did they establish the identity? And I feel like heading into the last month of the season, Ryan Day and Brian Hartline have stumbled onto that it's going to have to primarily be built around Julian Sayin's special passing ability and the best core of wide receivers in the country, hands down, no question about that. And then if you complement that with a run game from there, I think there's a lot of ways that you can do that. I thought today checked every box.
It certainly did when it was over. I thought it was interesting. I was prepared, folks, to come on Snap Judgments, and I was going to be mad about how bad I thought the crowd was in the first half of this game. And some of that was Ohio State's fault. They let Penn State pick up some third downs. They let them matriculate the ball down the field, drag things out. And then second half, like, this place came alive. And that started because Ohio State came alive and started the second half with a deep shot to Carnell Tate. And it was like, hey, we're not just going to sleepwalk through this, which was great to see. And then once you see that happen once, we joked about it on the pregame keys, but like, this is what Jim Knowles' defense allows. So you have to be willing to take your shot. And kudos to the Ohio State offensive line for giving Julian Sayin time on those throws. But the play of the game, Ryan Day went into detail about it in his press conference, is the 9-yard scramble by Julian Sayin.
When
at that point, it was 10-7. And, you know, it's 3rd and 9. And Julian Sayin, there's levels to this play, is that Austin Saraveld playing against Danny Denai Sutton, who's one of the best defensive ends in the country, got beat. Like, we haven't seen that all year. Danny Denai Sutton made the play. And this is where what I'm watching might be different than what people on TV are watching. Do you often see football where an offensive tackle lets a guy get by him and then he just stands there and lets the quarterback get hit?
And say, ah, man, I lost my rep.
Austin Saraveld turned around, went back and got him, put a block back on Sutton, which allowed Julian Sayin to make a move and pick up that 9-yard play. I think it was 2 plays later, long touchdown to Carnell Tate. And it's like, the game is then any thought that Penn State had something working kind of felt like it went away right then, because
that was their moment.
Yeah. And Ohio State, you know, I thought for a team that hadn't been challenged really this year at all, I mean, until the last, 3 minutes of the game against Texas, when Texas showed a glimpse of breath.
Yeah.
The bounce back in the second half from Matt Patricia's defense, from Brian Hartline in the offense, I thought the Buckeyes ended up out rushing Penn State by almost 100 yards. Catron Allen's good, man. I'm telling you what, that is one of the stranger personnel flips I've seen in my time covering college football.
Right.
Where when Catron Allen was recruited and Nick Singleton was recruited, it's like, here's a throw in.
Or when Catron Allen was kicking the tires on the transfer portal.
They were this close to letting him walk away last year. He's really good. I thought Ethan Grunkmeyer played a game. But once the second half started and Ohio State decided to go after the quarterback, it was over.
There were a handful, so a bunch of national media folks that had circled this as one of their games to come to the Horseshoe and the game of the year in the preseason projections. A lot of them canceled, but some of them still traveled and made it here. And the way that they came to the sudden realization
that Julian Sayin
is really, really, really good, it was like it happening in real time. And the scramble was one of them, but then they were just – like Andy Staples was sitting next to me. Andy Nardi, you can watch that on 3 if you want. They'll have a lot of coverage from this game as well, but I prefer if you just watch the Austin and Berm show. But anyway.
Or Wolves, whatever.
Like the accuracy.
Can't watch ESPN tonight, so you may as well keep the YouTube on.
But he was one of the people that was like, I was talking to him about it throughout the game. He's like, I didn't realize he could do this or do that. And then certainly the scramble, I'm like, whoa. He did have a carry like that against Wisconsin. He's adding that to his game. Ryan Day's never going to ask his starting quarterback to carry that load as a running threat when he's so important to the passing attack. So, but I think the showing that once or twice a game is not only important to him potentially winning the Heisman, but also to the rest of the opponents who are looking at the film breakdown and trying to figure out what they can do to try and stop Ohio State. And now if you have this threat from him, that wasn't designed, of course. But if you have to be concerned about what he can do outside the pocket, and we've seen him leave pressure, escape pressure, and then throw the football, and now he's doing it with his legs, and Julian Sayin, the first thing he said about it after the game was, well, I got to have two hands on the football.
I think he only said that because Ryan Day said it while Julian was standing there.
Either way, he's taking the coaching. Yeah. The point is we are seeing Julian Sayin get better and better and better every week, and we're seeing new parts of his game that are only going to make him more difficult to defend.
It's really fun. We've had the opportunity and the blessing, I guess, to experience this under the Ryan Day era of Ohio State. Watching his quarterbacks get better week to week to week over the last 7-8 years has been really awesome. And I can't think of a guy who has surpassed And Ryan's not going to go out and say, well, I wasn't sure about this or wasn't sure about that. But the way that Julian is leveling up week to week is something that I don't think we've seen from an Ohio State quarterback ever.
Yeah.
And like where it goes from here, as long as the weather stays like this, like, I mean, please, thank you. Because you're talking about identity. That has been the buzzword around the Ohio State offense the entire season, and you're starting to see it. Like, the identity is what we thought it was, which is Julian saying, and the two best receivers in America, because you can go to Carnell and Jeremiah anytime you want. And so everything else that you're doing,
if you throw a pass that gets deflected, Jeremiah is still going to catch it.
I can't say that people won't understand how incredible that catch was.
Where was your vantage point?
I was at the 10-yard line, so right across from him. And like once the ball got tipped, I'm like, yeah. And then Jeremiah like juggles it, catches it, doesn't. I'm like, one hand brings it back in. To have that sort of reaction time that quickly on a ball thrown at the line, like, it's really, really remarkable. And that ultimately is the tale of a game like this. Like, Ohio State has aliens. And most other teams don't.
So there's an old adage in the press box, and they tell you before every game, there's no cheering in the press box. And I was not doing that, to be clear. But after the ball was deflected, a lot of people were kind of just, you know, looking down, that play's over. And I kept watching. I was like, where's the ball going to go? Because it could be intercepted. It could be anything. And Jeremiah, I saw him reach back, and I saw him pull it back into his body and for the touchdown. And it just, it was a natural reaction. I said, what the hell?
Yeah. No, there's no cheering in the press box. There is gasping.
But I am still a human being, and I saw something that I didn't think was possible.
There is still gasping in the press box. And you know, Jeremiah in the post-game press conference was asked about that play, of course. And, like, his answer is, well, I had to catch it so that Julian could grade out a champion, because if he throws an interception, he can't.
Yeah.
So, like, okay. I mean, this team is really fun, man.
What a good brother.
Yeah, this team is really a lot of fun. You saw, you'll hear about it on the Notebook when you guys watch that in an hour or two. But Caleb Downs talking about the response from the Ohio State defense when he was wondering if he was going to be ejected from this game. I've never seen that many flags on a play before. that was triangulating on. I thought it was targeting on the field. They didn't show it on the board here in the replay, which felt like Ohio State conceding the point.
Yep.
And then Caleb, when he heard that he was not being ejected, I've never seen, like, he looked like a guy who got caught with his hand in the cookie jar. And then immediately people were like, guess there's no cookies in there anyway, so it's fine. He's like, woo. Okay, great. Because I've never seen him smile like that on the football field. And then
he gets an interception.
Two plays later, he
right here
basically ends the game with an interception that you know, he needs. Because those are the types of plays that the national media, again, who's here for this game, getting a wake-up call to what Julian's saying is, getting a wake-up call to this version of Ryan Day's Ohio State football team. They care about stats like interceptions for defensive back, even though they shouldn't matter that much.
He does need it for that Thorpe Award, that consideration. Just like you look at Julian Sayin's numbers today, and also I think sometimes there's just people need to see it with their own eyes to really believe it. Maybe it doesn't translate as well to folks who are watching it, or if they can't find it on YouTube TV for whatever reason. But I think you'll see Julian Sayin go up to either number one or number two in the Heisman straw polls. Again, those don't matter, but they are going to give you a feedback. A lot of
Miami
those people
lost again. Yeah. So Carson Beck, I mean, they put up, what, 20 points or whatever, nothing there. So
if you were going to vote for Carson Beck for the Heisman anyway, you should have that taken away.
Yeah, I mean, it's a Big Ten award now. We all know that.
100%. But I think, you know, there may be some element where people that, you know, their only impression of him was Texas and they hadn't really considered it again since then. He has opened the eyes again nationally. I think we have a really great appreciation for it locally because we see every single snap that he takes and we know how special it is. And we're also comparing it to what has happened before him at quarterback. And we know when Ryan Day believes he's got one and how he's going to turn him loose and what he trusts him to do. That's all happening with Julian Sayin right now. So whether that happens with the straw polls or not on Monday or Tuesday of next week, you've been paying closer attention to the gambling odds. I bet Julian Sayin will be number one by tomorrow.
I mean, we'll see what Fernando Mendoza does tonight against Maryland. That's going to be a big number for him, I'm sure. Indiana, like, they're going to try a lot harder to win that kind of award than Ohio State would. So we'll see.
Kurt Cignetti.
Kurt Cignetti will. You should Google him. You should also, folks, and this is my plea, because everyone here knows I have a predilection to look at the weather.
You do?
And I've already looked ahead the next week in West Lafayette.
Oh my gosh.
61.
No.
And sunny.
Wrong. You've been there before.
That's the 7-day forecast. So here's what I'm saying, America. If you're an Ohio State Buckeyes fan, which I hope you are if you're watching the Austin and Berm show, because that's all we talk about, really. Now is the time. Google Penn State or Purdue Ohio State tickets and make your way to West Lafayette. They've actually done a nice job redesigning this.
Actually, what I would tell you is, because I know that right now the get-in price is $49. Oh, Don't ask me how I know that. Wait until Saturday.
Just go.
Because Purdue fans are not going to
just go.
Book your hotel.
Yeah.
Those rates are going up.
Yeah.
But
if you want a chance to watch your Buckeyes for cheap, because it's not going to be cheap in this building ever.
Yeah.
Purdue is a good spot to go do it. They've done a nice job with Ross Aid Stadium. They've done some renovations. It was a lot cooler the last time we were there. If those early returns on the forecast are correct, 61 and sunny, which seems impossible.
The sun has never shined on West Lafayette,
but
Indiana.
That's like what they say at Outzen. It's the rain. It doesn't rain at Outzen, and the sun doesn't shine at Ross Aid. So, but you should go. You'll have a great time, and it'll be like 80% Buckeye fans in there if people listen.
I'll buy you a beer if we see the sun.
I love that.
What did you think? You were down on the field in the fourth quarter when they started alternating. Boy, that sun is bright. When they started alternating between Matt Patricia and Jim Knowles up there, what did you think of that?
At first, I said to myself, "Self, this feels a little petty." And then I said to myself, "Holy moly, this is so petty! I love it," because it was back and forth. And Ohio State, it's weird because the football program is really leaning into this professionalization of college football. Like, it is what is happening. And whether people like it or not, it doesn't really matter. They keep winning games. The stadium, however, is leaning into the collegiate side of things. They had the Brutus race where they had a Penn State guy versus an Ohio State guy. And then they had the knockerball person come out and just waylay the Penn State participant. Super fun. Well, whatever. They may have goosed him a little bit.
It was booked. It was a work.
Whatever. It was funny. I like what they're doing, man. I know people have their mixed opinions about Ross Bjork and all of the things that Ohio State is doing with the Liberty, with the belt, the Liberty belt.
Liberty belt?
With the victory belt.
I don't think there's a crack in that bad boy.
If Urban Meyer had to ring it two more times, he was close. they're really doing good things here, and there's two games left.
With the notable exception of the end of the first quarter.
Yay, hey, whatever. There's two games left in Ohio Stadium. UCLA, that one's trending to be a night game from what we understand.
That's my indication.
That's going to be a great time. So, I think people should appreciate this season. It feels like it's going by so quickly. There's only two more home games, which is crazy considering we haven't been here in a month.
I know.
But make sure you're here and really enjoy watching this team, because a day like today when – it could have been wonky. It could have been ugly. It could have been a slog fest if Ohio State came out of the half and didn't exercise the demons. And they did it, and this team is only going to get better, which is the funny part, because, you know, there's things we talk about, the perimeter defense and all that stuff. You and Zach can nitpick it on Sunday morning for Monday morning's boring blitz. But what we saw from Matt Patricia's defense in the second half is exactly why the conversation in this place is not like, oh no, we lost the coordinator from the best defense in the country last year, because that adjustment is not something we saw often from the previous administration.
Sure didn't. You were going to ask me something before I jumped in with
No, I was just going to say, was there anything else in this game? Any other guy? I mean, obviously we're talking about aliens. Arvell Reese had 12 tackles. Kenyatta had 2 sacks. It was all over the place. Caden McDonald almost ripped Ethan Grunkmeyer's arm off.
Did.
And beat him with it. I thought it was just an interesting game, again, as I said, because the Ohio State corners were not involved in this game, and they didn't it was basically eliminating them from the game plan for Penn State, which was smart. But was there a concern about the run defense in the first half for you from upstairs? Because you're seeing the gaps, you're seeing the holes, you're seeing that sort of stuff.
I sort of concern would be too strong of a word. I there were periods in the first half, and I expected that Katron Allen would get yards. Yeah. And there are NFL caliber offensive linemen on that Penn State group. I thought they would have some success, and that was going to be the one part of Penn State with the football where the talent equated a part was going to show up. If they committed to running the football, and they knew that they couldn't just run it straight at Ohio State, which is all of the toss plays and all of the gimmicky ways that they were trying to attack Ohio State told me that they knew that they couldn't win just straight up man for man across the board. I give credit to honestly, like Penn State's coaching staff, honestly, for finding ways to do that. They definitely in the red zone. Now, sometimes they took it too far. The play that led to Kenyatta Jackson's second sack, you know, it was an end around pitch play, back. Like it was going to be a screen. I don't know what it was going
to
be.
That stuff just doesn't win against Ohio State. Like you can't. You have to man up and go straight at them. And I thought, you know, it was a reminder, as you said, like Penn State, this is a team that was preseason number two in the country.
Yeah.
Like they were expected to be a national championship, not just contender, but a favorite.
Yep.
And yeah, they're missing Drew Aller. That changes the offense a little bit. But I actually thought Ethan Grunkmeyer played well. I thought the offensive line for them played well until it became like obvious that they were going to have to throw the ball in the third and fourth quarter. But I thought this was a better game than a lot of people expected it to be based on what Penn State has done in the last 5 weeks. But then like the final score looks like it's not, but it was. Penn State's a talented team. And this Ohio State team is just light years better.
Yeah, I think that and I don't need to pick on Drew Aller. He's hurt. He's out for the year. And certainly Ethan Grunkmeyer.
Yeah, I talked to him before the game. He told me he'll be back in January running. He'll be ready to go for the combine and all that stuff. So kudos. Hopefully that happens for him. Drew, covering him in high school, great kid. Like, easy to root for, but glad he wasn't playing today.
And I can understand. But so I personally don't believe that he would have made that great of a difference. He can do a lot more than Ethan Grunkmeyer can at this stage of his career. I am not dismissive of the potential or talent that Grunkmeyer has, whether he stays at Penn State or not. He was not going to be ready to attack Ohio State the way that it needed to be. There were, you know, if there was any sort of competency at quarterback for Penn State in the first half, there were opportunities that they could have made this game even more competitive than it was. Yeah. There were a couple throws that were open, some coverages that was like maybe IGB, maybe Jermaine Matthews kind of fell asleep because they're only expecting these tunnel screens, and they gave up some throws that they maybe wouldn't otherwise. But I didn't ever feel like it rose to the level of concern because I just – every time Ohio State needed to get a third down stop, they did. Every time that they needed to find a way to create pressure, they did. I don't remember Berm at any point in the first seven games. They had a different way to try and stop, you know, a red zone, a short yardage rushing situation where they put out Edric Houston, Caden McDonald, and Will Smith together. I don't remember seeing that. So they're even now we're seeing Matt Patricia get to other solutions and other personnel groupings, and that's, I think, got to be terrifying.
That's the fun part. This team is still tinkering. You're eight games in, and there's maybe eight games left. Like, there's a lot of things left to get to. And the crazy thing, and you can tell me if you think I'm wrong, we'll wrap up snap judgments here or not. We're going to wrap it up regardless, but you can tell me if you think I'm wrong.
I would never.
Penn State's offense was better than Penn State's defense.
I don't know if I agree. I'm going to have to think
about it. They gave up 500 yards. When was the last time Penn State gave up 500 yards to Ohio State?
Actually, no, you know what? You're right. Because
Ohio State did whatever they wanted on it.
Because I did say I had to give the Penn State coaching staff credit for the way that they tried to work around Grunkmeyer's limitations, Katron Allen, the offensive line. They found some success. Now, I think they were benefited by, again, officiating and circumstances with the field position. But I do think that they showed more creativity, and they were probably better coached than they were on the other side of the
football. They showed more fight on offense than they did defense.
And every time that the defensive coordinator for Penn State was getting a Coke upstairs, I thought that was before the game. I said, well, this game's over because he drinks coffee.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Things are different now.
He looked absolutely overwhelmed by the scenario today. That's my evaluation.
I didn't see him, but I would have said hello, just like I said hello to Drew and my guy, A.J. Harris, the cornerback for Penn State, who got called for a pretty important pass interference in this game.
Pretty obvious one.
Yeah, pretty obvious as well. So you're talking about not cheering in the press box. That was probably one of like four times ever in being on the field for every Ohio State game in the last 15 years where I was like, throw the flag. Like, I lost it. I'm like, come on. Like, and I like AJ a lot. And I'm like, that is the difference, right? Like, again, this episode of Snap Judgments is running long, but that is the difference between this Ohio State defense, which is like bust proof to this juncture, and the Jim Knowles experience. Because it's third and, 13 from the 24-yard line. And you have your best cover corner covering a tight end who's 5 inches taller than him down the middle of the field. Like, that's just not, that's the stuff that drove people crazy here in the last 3 years. And so you see it and you're like, oh, there it is. You're like, yeah, that'll do.
Yeah, I'd say
that'll do.
I'd say for Ryan Day, yeah, that'll do. 38-14 was the final. Again, Buckeyes now 8-0. They head to Purdue next week, looking to, the best thing about being 8-0, I'm told, is an opportunity to go 9-0.
Urban Meyer did recognize me today, which which was an upset.
Another big
he
win.
He said hello, and I was like, oh, hey. And like, I did not expect it. Normally, he just walks right by.
Yeah.
What a day.
So, another one in the book, another snap judgments in the book, as the Buckeyes cruise past Penn State, still number one in the country, still undefeated, and still not satisfied, still looking for that room to improve down the stretch. 4 games left in the regular season. The Austin and Berm Show is going to be at all of them. I promise you. He's Berm. I'm Austin. Thanks so much for joining us. A lot more coverage on the beat when we kick it off on Monday morning. I'll see you there.